Blog Talk Radio.
You think you know me?
Hello, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with Stish Ram, bringing you another episode of The Rumor Mill, also not knowing what to play during the beginning of these of this Rumor Mill because, well, I mean, it's what do you play? WWE Rumors, what do you play? Right, Satish?
I don't know what to say.
Okay, so Mr. Ram is currently speechless, and let's bring you some of the topics of tonight. You know, TNA news, WWE morale is low, and Buff Bagwell doing porn. Coming to you tonight at 11:30. Oh, shit, look at the time, 11:30.
I got nothing. Buff Bagwell's apparently doing porn. I don't know what the fuck
usually
we're talking about.
Usually you have so much to say. Does Randy Orton have heat? Or is Randy Orton going to be on heat? WWE bringing back Sunday Night Heat.
That's bullshit. But, yeah.
Yeah, actually, that whole thing was bullshit. WWE is not bringing back Sunday Night Heat.
No, and Randy Orton doesn't have heat on him either.
No, he doesn't. Wouldn't it be great, though, if WWE just brought back wrestling for every single day of the week? Sunday Night Heat, Saturday Night Velocity. Basically as a way to say, ha-ha, TNA. Look what we can do with our money.
They can buy TNA right now and just end it. End the whole thing.
They can buy TNA right now. And Vince can go, all right, so like, what's that? What else is on my shopping list? And can go along with his daily routine of just going to shop for groceries and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I wanted to see how it would go if we did that like an actual news team. But then I also remembered that we just previously had the song from Haruhi, the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya play.
Listen, we can do stuff like that. Sure, like, we can open up our Monday Night Raw podcast, like just stuff like Cena returns, someone exploded, and more. This is Monday Night Raw, and then play like the
this
old Raw theme.
This is the Rumor Mill.
It could work.
Basically,
you know,
this
like
is
a this is thing.
This is.
I'd buy on to that.
I'd support it. I'd pay myself money for it. I would take my own wallet. No, but seriously, what's funny is that you might think some of, you know, so usually we say two real things and a joke, or we just have a complete joke. All of these rumors were real. Buff Bagwell, TNA news, WWE morale being low, Randy Orton having heat. All of those are actual rumors going around, or even some things that look to be true. Those aren't jokes, sadly, especially the Buff Bagwell thing. But, hey, let's start off with some light stuff. Buff Bagwell doing porn. Okay, so here's what we mean by that. here's what that means, everyone. Buff Bagwell, right, has recently been on a show about being a male gigolo. Because, yes, he is a male gigolo, right? So where that's going is the fact that apparently that caught the eye of some, you know, of a director of a, you know, of a couple of porn films. And because of that, now they're thinking of putting Buff Bagwell in porn. Cue jokes. So, Satish, let's do this. Let's make up some movie names for Buff Bagwell. Let's go.
Buff Bagwell itself is a joke. Bagwell sounds like a porn star name. Like, it's...
Yeah. So, in other words, the scrap the movie idea. So, his porn name has to be, like, John, right?
Yeah, it just has to be like John Smith.
John Smith.
What's wrong? What was his real name? Buff Bagwell. Oh. I mean, honestly, the only thing I would do, I would just make him Buff Shagwell. That would be his solo movie. Just Buff
right,
Shagwell.
Right, where he's Buff Shagwell, International Man of Sex Trade.
Yeah, see, I like that. That could work.
Well, I should start writing for porn. Or TNA, whichever one pays more. The porn does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but with porn, you get two sandwiches. Anyway, with TNA, you just get one. But what was I saying? So anyway, no, but seriously, movie names. I mean, I got a good one. If you don't have any, I have a really good one. The Canadian Destroyer.
That wasn't bad. I'll give you that joke.
No, thank you. Thank you. But yeah, that's the starting off with something light. Let's start off with something crazy. Two things that are crazy.
Go for it.
In a row, we'll just pack, you know, double crazy. One that I didn't mention, right? And we mentioned the Randy Orton one, but I want to throw in one that actually sounds more crazy than this Randy Heat thing. Apparently, there are rumors going around, right, that this Stephanie McMahon arrest is actually a joke on the recent legal troubles that Emma has been facing. Now, I want to say that that's, again, a load of crazy, right? That's stupid. Why would that be a thing? But let's remember who we're talking about here. The WWE.
Yeah,
and
I actually, for once, think it's, like, BS.
Right.
Because, like, normally I will accept, like, some kind of, like, wow, the McMahons are stupid as hell because they did something like this. Like, you know, the spiking Stephanie's drink thing came about because supposedly Stephanie had bad coffee earlier in the day or something like that.
Yes,
so
that
I accept. Yeah. But I feel like this made so much sense in terms of the Stephanie and Bella angle that it would have happened anyway.
No, I agree. It's just, you know, I do, that's why I said it's pretty out there and pretty crazy. But I do, you know, want to remind everyone that, yeah, it is WWE we're talking about here. Also, tonight, we are not accepting calls. Usually we are, but tonight we're not. Usually our rumor shows just involve us spouting about these some not-so-crazy rumors that are going around the, you know, WWE backstage. Now, this other crazy one that we did bring up before, Randy Orton. There's apparently rumors going around that Randy Orton is getting heat because backstage heat, real heat, because of the fact that he has not, quote-unquote, not been working good matches with Roman Reigns on purpose.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit on this one, too.
Randy Orton is not only the Viper in the ring, you know, in the sense that he'll beat you down, but he'll also make you look bad by not being beaten down hard enough or something. That's what's funny, too. I also would like to call bullshit because they don't explain how. So it's really just, yeah, Randy Orton's not being good in the ring. And at house shows, by the way. This wasn't even considered live on TV. At house shows, where no one can see him, you know? Where we can't really make a clear judgment. But when we hear judgment from others, we hear good things.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. As you were saying?
No. I mean, like, it's fine, because I just called bullshit into the rumor, and I'm like, you know, I guess this is sort of like if we're turning the rumor show into a is-it-real or is-it-false thing. And, you know, this one kind of strikes me as BS, too, because Randy has always been nothing but professional. And this is a guy who comes through the business as a third-generation superstar. He knows how this shit works, you know? And
right. He's
also had not only his time in the sun, he recently had another WWE Championship reign. You know, and I think he knows the up and up on the business. I think he knows what the fuck he's doing. And it really doesn't seem like he would be doing something to sabotage Reigns. My thought originally was that people are just starting to realize that Reigns isn't good in singles matches.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, when you say people, by the way, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I'm thinking people on the back.
Yes, people in the back. Because or maybe even like the Vince, you know, the brain trust for Vince. Because obviously they've been mega, you know, they've signed off on this mega push for Reigns, which is
right. Cool,
but he still can't really work singles matches.
No.
So,
no.
It's
very interesting. It's actually kind of, and I say interesting because I'm not saying that I want Rollins or Ambrose
to be interesting
because
it's not interesting at all.
Yeah, no. No,
but, yeah.
I want to say no, but I mean it more like, and I say it just because, like, okay, you look at, you know, Rollins, and you look at Ambrose, and I'm not saying they deserve to be shot to the top immediately either, but I will say that they have something about them that can be at the top and no one would really bat an eye, personally, right? Where, you know, there's something about Ambrose, something about
it's
Rollins.
It's called
where
being
I'm not
good in the ring. But no,
yeah,
go
right.
On.
It's called actually being good. No, so yeah, that's basically what I was going to say, but or alluding to. But and with Reigns, it's not even that Reigns doesn't have the look. He looks like he could be shot to the top. I think the issue, especially with some of the fans now that are really like you know thinking and who are you know on five, right, is the fact that they're looking at this going so him over them, you know, him over them, him instead of them. Him instead of Cesaro, you know, him instead of people who can really work in the ring and who are also good on the microphone, who, you know, don't really deserve a place on any mid-card level, be even if it's upper mid-card, they don't. So, you know, that's from the actual fans. And from back, that's the problem backstage, though, which is the same problem that they've always had, right? The problem backstage, so like certain things, again, certain things are changing, but certain things are not at all.
Right.
And some of, and one of the unchanging things is when you're pushing a guy, right, or if you're behind a guy, that means that whatever anyone else does around that guy is wrong. Whatever it may be. It could be anything, right? So you could have a superstar do a perfect, like a perfect choke slam, let's say, on Roman Reigns. But if Roman Reigns walks away and goes, man, I think I kind of hurt my back. What? What are you doing to our break? What? This is our golden child. Do you understand that if his back slightly hurts, because of a wrestling maneuver done in the ring, we could lose one of our best people ever in the WWE's history ever. Do you understand? And I truly believe that Vince would say something like this to someone. So I would not be surprised if Randy's getting his heat because of the, or, you know, whatever. Not because he's actually working bad matches. Because, again, we've heard from people who have seen the live events and who, you know, come
right.
back to us and said, actually, they're, like, they tore the house down. You know, so the problem is people in the back going, didn't look like a good match. Why wasn't it a good match? Well, it has to be the guy who isn't the guy we're pushing right now. That is true. It has to be the guy that we aren't fully 100% pushing to the top. It has to be that guy. You know, can't be the guy that we're pushing because we pushed
yeah,
that
just,
guy. Like, that guy deserves
so
it, right?
Little motivation for Randy to be doing this that I just can't buy onto it, you know? And I really do think a lot of it is the fact that Reigns still needs work in the ring. And again, that's not me saying he's not ever going to be good. It's just he's not polished enough yet, which is a fact.
Yeah. No, what I think it is, and it's funny because when I first heard this, I did want to go a bit anti-Randy because of the thing that he's done in the past. However, I do feel as if it isn't him because of the fact that, I mean, you know, you have... Yeah, he's, you know, he's friends with Triple H, and I think because of that, like, he just sits there and thinks, well, even if I'm not, the guy who's being pushed right now, I am a bit older, he shouldn't be thinking, oh, I may be hit with budget cuts. You know what I mean? There's always room for Randy Orton. There's always room for Ric Flair. There's always
okay.
room for Batista. I mean, the fact that Batista could come back and get a title shot pretty much, and it was us who said, no, you're not, bitch. You know, get in the back of the line.
Right.
No. The fact that we had to do that to the point where it was literally hijacking. I mean that very literally. It was hijacking. If that didn't happen, we may still, up until the fact that, you know, him leaving recently, we may still have had Batista, WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That could have happened, you know? So point being that, yeah, like, I wanted to side against Randy because, like, you know, like, he has done some really shitty things in the past. I mean, you know, backstage, he's, I believe there's an incident of him using the bathroom in a person's gym bag. I forgot if it was a female on the roster or if it was a male on the roster, but he's done that as a joke, mind you, in his eyes, but still relatively awkward, I think, in everyone's eyes, just using the bathroom in someone's gym bag. And another incident of him with Kofi Kingston, where I believe Kofi Kingston did something that he might have hurt Randy Orton, I think, in the ring. And instead of going, damn, like, that hurt, apparently he made such a huge stink about it that Kofi was pushed down the cart because
right.
of it. So things like that made me think, huh, maybe. But, yeah, as you mentioned, there really isn't much of it. Like, what is the motivation, you know, compared to where, like you said, Randy Orton has gotten a recent push, even though he hasn't been pushed as much recently and he has been used as, enhancement talent, that in no way means that Randy Orton is less, any less than they've been booking him the last
yeah.
year, you know, where they booked him as a wimp. But it doesn't mean that, you know, because he's lost with Evolution, he's any less of. He's still Evolution. You know, he's still working with Triple H. And, hey, I mean, now you look at him right now anyway, after what just happened on Monday. And I think that also kind of skews the perception of, oh, well, Randy's trying to do this to get back. Because after seeing what happened on Monday, you know, he's clearly where he wants to be right now.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
a person,
he
as a
definitely
character.
Got to do his Viper thing again. And it looked good. He looked like he enjoyed doing that again. And, you know, he's going to lose to Roman Reigns, but it makes sense because, well, quite frankly, he's not John Cena. You know, so him losing to Roman Reigns is what makes sense because you got to put over the young talent. And I think what's good is that Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns, what it's doing is it's sort of dampening Reigns' push in a good way. You know, it's keeping him out of the title match because he just lost, you know, he can't be consistently put in the title match over and over and lose. People are going to lose steam for him. So what you do here is you give him a chance to pick up a win and people will get behind him again. And at the same time, you're not taking him out of the big picture because Randy Orton's pissed at him because he didn't get his title shot. You know, so this is all revolving around the title. It's good. This is all good positioning for Reigns. And for Orton, it's still pretty good. I mean, after all these years, he's still in the upper mid-card, like upper championship scene area, and
yes,
that's really, you know, it's testament to the fact that he is, regardless of perhaps those incidents that you mentioned, which are definitely true, I think he just understands the business now at least.
No, I understand completely. The only thing that I feel bad about, I have to say, before I move on, is if what I said was true, which is, you know, Vince McMahon is now looking at Randy Orton as if he is the problem, you know, which is, oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, our golden child is right here trying to rise up and become the best thing in the world, and you're here trying to hinder this. It makes me really sad, if only because, again, I know I just said, oh, well, Randy Orton used to do this, but now it makes me think, Randy Orton used to be in that position. You know, it must suck to be on the other side now, being told, look, you know, you're not doing this for the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that must be terrible. So a little bit of a poor Randy. I mean, maybe you could argue he deserves it for what he's done over the years, you know, possibly.
Maybe
without
even a little bit
realizing.
Of karma.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think of it like this, Triple H, you know, as much as we love him now, he buried people. He did. He buried tag teams. He's beaten tag teams before. Because.
Yeah, Triple H, the shuffle is Triple H's thing. I mean,
yeah.
We all know.
So, you know, we don't have, hey, it's, you know, it's rumors, but we don't have any confirmed reports, but I would argue that there's a pretty damn good chance that on Randy Orton's way to the top, buried a few people too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when your master was the master burier at a time when he was still burying, you know, because if Triple H is mentoring anyone now, I assume he isn't saying, bury other talent, you know, because now he's managing the talent, right? But, at a time when he was at the top of the card and would bury anyone he chose because he was Triple H, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that rubbed off on Randy Orton, wouldn't be surprised if he buried one or two people. And heck, like you said, maybe it's karma. I'm not saying he deserves it, but you never know. You know, there's a chance this might be some kind of karma for what he's done in the past, and hey, it happens. You know, I mean, hopefully now with this happening to him, he can sit back and go, damn, that's how that felt. Well, because hopefully, you know, because it's always good, I think, when you can learn something, like you said, he knows about the business now. And then in the future, right, if any talent who's, you know, on the roster or talking to him, giving, you know, and he can give them advice, he can say, hey, don't be an egotistical douchebag, right? Be one out there, right, to the crowd. Don't be one here. Because it's going to bite you in the ass one day when you're not the young new superstar. Which sucks, but I mean,
if you plan to have a long career with the company.
Exactly.
Which I assume
people
do.
Right? Yeah, I assume most people do. Like even someone like The Rock had a nice career before going off to Hollywood, and also sadly, The Rock is one in a million. You know, very hard to find others that I think would do very well. I mean, you know, you look at some others, and I think maybe CM Punk would do well. But other than that, I don't really see a lot of people and think, yep, that guy is just made for Hollywood. You know, because for all we know, they're just really good at, like, for all we know, Dean Ambrose is really good at his character. But then trying to do anything else would just be a fish out of water.
Yeah, the thing about Ambrose, specifically now that we're mentioning this, is that he's really good at playing his unstable character. He is really good at playing his character. I honestly think that's the best way to describe Ambrose. He's really good at playing his character. And his character is very well-versed, it's wide-ranged in terms of his unstableness. But I think, he would struggle playing a calm, good guy.
Exactly.
Like, this
same,
is Dean
Ambrose's
last thing, a face.
It's good. I'm sorry, what was that?
This is Dean Ambrose's a face.
Yeah. And that's how you...
For a second.
Yeah, exactly, and that's how we feel. You know, so, yeah, this is him as a face. And, you know, and, but, oh, looking at Bray Wyatt as well, where it's just, he's good at what he does, clearly, but what if he had to play something different, you know? And I know you could say the same about The Rock, well, we didn't know that The Rock was going to be this good. Fair enough, but still, I mean, The Rock, you know, there's just things about The Rock. Anyway, but usually, yes, everyone wants to have a long career. You have to realize that you want to assert yourself at the top, but don't be a dick about it, basically. I mean, that's just the gist, you know, don't be a dick about it. Be a dick about it. It's, you know, it's not, you're not always going to be at the top, sadly. Even John Cena, right, where he is right now, he's getting old. And we've mentioned there are, actually, we didn't get to mention, or he may have on the show, on the previous shows, there have been some rumors that John Cena is leaving. Now, obviously, Satish's laughing because he's never going to leave. But, I mean, look at Hogan's career. But, hey, eventually, they looked at Hogan and they said, sorry, sir, your back is so, you know,
like, I'm
the
sure
way
it's
going
to be to the point where they're going to need to pay Cena to leave.
Probably. I mean, the thing is, though, is I don't...
They're
going
to pay
weird.
Him to go to Hollywood.
I'll say this much. I think that John Cena, right? I think that if John Cena, you know, okay, if the WWE right now was in a better position, John would probably be closer to be going on his, you know, to going on his way out, right, to just leave. However, I think that John actually does care about this company, and he does care about the kids, and he does care about, and of course he cares about the paychecks, right? So the fact that they're still paying him a lot, and it looks like the company's in a bad spot, he'll, and of course the fact that he's getting a title shot out of it, obviously, it would be really silly for anyone to think, no, but I got to leave for Hollywood. Why, John? You have a good home here, John.
Are you really trying to make an argument for John Cena to spend more years with us? Because I may hate you.
No, I just mean this specific time. Like, okay, no, you misunderstand. I think that if the WWE was in a better position right now, John Cena would probably be gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, with where we are right now, and with what they have to offer him because of where they are right now. Like, imagine if John Cena really did leave tomorrow. How bad would that be for the company right now? Okay.
I'm
really thinking
about that. Like, I guess, like, I don't know. I can't imagine how happy I would be if that happened.
That's the thing. I don't mean for you and I. I mean for this company from a business perspective where they get a lot
of
financially, from John.
Financially, didn't they, you know, not gain much when he was on TV as the champion?
We're not referring to ratings now. That's why I never refer to ratings, because I always agree that, yes, ratings do not help. You know, it does not help when John Cena is on for people to keep, you know, their eyes glued to the TV. But it does help merchandise in general that John is there. Because if John leaves, what are the kids going to buy? Even though it sounds like a joke, seriously.
Everything
I'm telling you, man, I went to a show, Sea of Neon Green, this is Madison Square Garden, Sea of Neon Green, these kids worshipped him.
I guess that's what
actually,
I kind of hate. Because
of course,
I can't get mad at a business for doing things that are good for their business. You know, so obviously...
Right.
John's going to, and you can hear the displeasure in my voice, but obviously John's going to get the screen time because the children worship him.
Right.
What irritates me is just give a damn, John, and give a damn WWE. Because if you're going to shove him down our throats, we've learned not to care. You know, I think I've become fairly apathetic to the whole thing. But I mean empathetic to the whole champion, you know, his 1,000 championships and his never giving up and all that stuff. I'm not empathetic to the fact that he still isn't the greatest role model, but he is the biggest role model that WWE presents. You know, because, you know, using what you're saying and using general logic as proof, I mean, these children worship John Cena. I mean, whatever he tells them to do, they'll follow. So his track record of not being the greatest role model is what irks me. Lately,
oh, of course,
he hasn't had the chance to do that stuff, and I'm very happy, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, even going back to recently with the Bray Wyatt feud, with the photoshopping and stuff, that's just stupid, you know? So,
I mean, listen, photoshopping was stupid, but hey, that was clearly for the kids. What gets me is saying that Bray Wyatt has no penis. Or this, that means, like,
well,
that's
yeah, well,
kind of what gets
the
me.
The Bray Wyatt feud and the whole thing, you know, yeah, I agree there. It's just, I mean, I'm really just displeased with Cena in the sense that his character, you know, and again, I'm sure that John Cena the man is somewhat halfway decent.
You know, of course. But again, but still, that does not change, you know, again, so getting back to the topic again, you know, at hand, yeah, he moves, you know, if John Cena was gone tomorrow, that would not be best for business. I'm not saying best for stories, of course. Best for us, yes. Even best for some of the kids, possibly looking for some better, you know, people to have as role models, like Dean Ambrose.
Now,
but,
to be fair, did they gain most of their money from merchandising?
I wouldn't say
because,
most of their money, but I'm sure it helps. I mean, for this company,
it's
the fact
know,
that they're...
I assume so. Like, I assume what you're saying is right, because I was going to argue
right.
that, you know, you contend to the point that, yeah, stories would be better. Like, the overall product would be better without John.
Right.
And I would argue that that could lead to money, but it would be foolish of me to say something like that without thinking about how much merchandising accounts, you know, and I really
even,
don't know
here's
how
this.
Much merchandising
even if
accounts
merchandise,
for their money.
Even if merchandise wasn't, you know, more than, even if their ratings counted more than their merchandise, the fact that their ratings aren't the worst thing in the world, because here's the thing, what if, and this is a scary thought, what if 1 million kids just decide, but my hero isn't on television? So now ratings go down. Right, 1 million is silly, but still, imagine if kids just thought, "I don't want to see," because you know, whatever. And what if you know there? What if there are people who actually do watch for John Cena, even if it's five, who aren't children? Still, the point is you lose ratings because John Cena isn't on for some reason or another. Even if it's just minimal, still you lose ratings, and then you lose merchandise. And the thing is, again, even if merchandise isn't like you know a large amount, it's still money. Right, it's still money that is now gone, and you know, and you can say, oh well, they can sell other shirts. They still have, they still are selling other shirts. Obviously, they still have other people pushing merch, but the fact that Cena is now gone would really hurt merchandise. Where right now, with the way this company is tanking, not tanking as hard as TNA, mind you, we'll get to that soon, but the fact that they're tanking does not help. You know, when they're saying. Where it's like, oh, yeah, let John Cena leave, whatever. The stories would be better. It should be what they're thinking. You know, yes, yeah, stories would be better. We'd have more room on the roster, more air to breathe, you know. But that does not mean that they're, you know, the money would be good for that. And, hey, again, I'm you know how I am. I don't want John Cena in the title picture. When he gets titles off of him, he should only have one farewell run, maybe like 3-4 years from now, where he loses the title in like a month. That's his farewell, you know, his farewell run, just a month, maybe. Or, hell, this can be his farewell run. Just, I don't want him in the title picture anymore after this. But that still does not mean that I want him gone completely because, yeah, they need the money right now. I hate to say it. They need the money. They need to work on his character. They need to make him better. But
I don't know.
You know
It's not in my interest to really talk about this. Like, I want them to create a good product. And I want them to do that regardless of the money they're coming in. Because to be honest with you, if they're putting out a great product and Vince McMahon is getting poorer by the day, that's no skin off my back. I'm being very straightforward with you. You know? I don't give a damn. Now, I don't think that it's correlated to the point where they're actually going to be hemorrhaging money and the product will be getting better. Like, I know there's probably going to be a correlation between them putting out a good product and then making money at the same time. But for me, like, you know, I could give a damn if they're not making money. Do you get what I mean? Like, I know it sounds weird, because, like, when you... It's... I need them to be here and have enough money to put out a good product.
Yeah.
But I, like, if they need, like, let's say, I don't know, random number. If they need $700 million to create, like, the whole network, the network and WWE is an asset that has to be worth, let's say, $700 million for them to be making a good product, and they're getting $700 million, I don't really care if they're getting $1 billion or $1.5 billion. You know? Because it's just weird. And, you know, CM Punk is right. The company's probably going to be better when Vince is
oh, I agree.
Gone, you know, and...
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I know, it's just a lot to think about, because for me, I really do think that the overall product would be in such a better direction without John here. So, yeah, my natural inclination is I don't want John Cena on my television. And now it's sort of just become apathy. Like, it's really, it has cooled off. Before, for a good year, you know, getting back into wrestling, doing this podcast with you, like, becoming a member of Cage Side Seats and actually starting to talk with some people, it really irked me where I sat there and I would get really angry over John Cena. And now I can just talk about it with apathy and a little bit of distaste, displeasure.
Right.
And I do want him off my TV still. And, but the rest of me, I guess, is just like, I guess, he's just there. I don't, and it seems like I'm getting off track, but I just, he represents what they want to put out there for the kids, and I guess I have to deal with that, because obviously he's not for me, he's not for you, you know? But, God help me, I wish they could do it a little bit better. Like,
Would we have hated Hogan
this much? We probably would have, right?
We would have hated Hogan this much. Probably more. I don't think Hogan would have wanted to really put over talent as much as John actually has put over, and I know what you're going to say, but hey, he put over Daniel Bryan. That's
no,
more than Hogan
no, no, no.
Would have
I actually, I was
going
to agree with you.
Yeah.
I was going to agree with you. Because
even one.
It's the same
more
Hulk
than Hogan
that came back. It's the same Hulk Hogan that came back in 2005 and did that thing with Shawn Michaels. So,
exactly. You know,
you come
I
back in 2005 when you can't wrestle
yeah.
for shit and you're basically like, I need to win a match. Yeah, that's Hulk Hogan egomania territory. Like, John
yeah.
is close, but you're right.
Yeah, so
we
far.
Probably would have
you know,
hated
I feel.
Hogan more. I think you're right. I'll give you that. We probably would have.
I think, I mean, I've told this to you before, and I'll say it to you again before we really move on. I don't hate John. Okay, obviously I know you don't hate John the person, and I
Correct.
Don't want to hate John the character. The issue with John the character is that WWE just wanted, I don't know about now, because I do think he's getting better. So there's a time when WWE said, John is doing something, so you're going to like it. And it's like, wait, but John, like, just shot a bunch of kids. And it's like, but he did it as a good guy, so you're going to fucking like it. And it's like, I guess we're supposed to like that, right? And I know it's the same tactics that we've had recently where it's like a face does this and then a heel does that and then we're supposed to just believe the face is good for doing it. But with John, it was to another level at certain points where it was like, John, are you really doing this right now in the name of justice? Like, are you doing – in name of justice, John. That's what Bray Wyatt says. John, are you really doing this? Right? Where he's gotten a bit better recently, but it's still – so, again, it's just the idea of, you know, again, we need WWE to really think, like, okay, some faces can do heelish things, some heels can do face-ish things. But if it comes
right.
to John Cena, this man is, you know, the epitome of everything that's good in the world. Everything that's really, really good. You know, spike someone's drink, John Cena's going to call you out on it. You know what I mean? Where John Cena's going to say, hey, Roman, I saw what you did. Not a good thing to do. That was pretty mean. Goodbye. Have a good day. Like,
right.
that's what John Cena does. Right? Not, you spiked a drink. Yeah, son, spike that big kiddie girl drinks. Yeah, oh. And again, that's not me. That's what WWE would write John to say. And it's like, John, what are you talking about here, John? Yeah, you know, with her fake breasts. John, why are you fist bumping, John?
But he does talk about fake breasts and stuff like that.
That's, yeah.
I mean, he made a joke about Stephanie McMahon's breast surgery not too long ago.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Like, I just, there's a lot of things about John I don't like, and I am not against the idea of, like, a, you know, dorky, pandering, muscle-bound superhero for the children. Because I understand that wrestling is catered to kids and not us, you know? Right. And so in the beginning, we're already fighting a losing battle because it's like looking at a show on Nickelodeon and saying, why does this appeal to adults more? You know, it's not directly that, but we are starting, you know, we're fighting a losing battle because this is a show catered for the younger group. So, of course, we're going to have a John Cena. I think I'm just disappointed with, like, this specific John Cena. And using John Cena as a general term for what he serves a purpose to do, you know, I think that we're going to have another John Cena come up, and it could be like Roman Reigns. It could be Sheamus, you know, where for years we get that kind of treatment from that person. But if they're doing it right, I can do a step above apathy and actually just, like, you know, accept it. Like, I don't want to accept what John does. I don't, because
there's a difference. There's a difference between things. The way they built John from the earlier days, what they've done to John, right, they should keep him in a neutered sense. See, they shouldn't think, oh, well, if you make fun of her, you know, her fake breasts, then the adults would love it.
No.
You know, it's like, no, actually.
It's quite the opposite.
Yeah. Where it's just, no, you have to understand, you're talking about, you know, John Cena, where it's just, you know, with the way Roman Reigns is right now, you know, where he doesn't seem to be this, people should really look up to him. Same thing with Dean Ambrose. Same thing even with Sheamus in a way. You know, if they were pushed to the top and kind of did that whole flopping in and out thing, because, you know, they always have a few guys at the top, then I'd be okay with it. Where it's like, hey, Roman Reigns is something really messed up. But remember, I mean, he isn't the nicest of guys. He's a face, but he isn't the nice. But John Cena was literally promoted like the next Hulk Hogan.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah, and that's an issue where he does things that are very, very wrong, I would argue. But anyway, very off topic, but, you know, our first original point was the fact that,
topic, though. And I think you summed up nicely, though, because you made a really nice point about Hulk Hogan there without even – we may have ended up hating Hulk more if we had watched him through, but it would have been for different reasons.
Yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan's character was – Hulk Hogan's character. I mean, he really was Hulk Hogan. He was he was what we would hope John Cena's character is. But
yes,
because, you know, eat your vitamins and say your prayers.
Say your prayers. Brother,
yeah, that kind of
Jack,
stuff. Like
brother,
that was like, I'm not opposed to that character. I get that. I'm opposed to Hogan's asshole-ish in the back, you know, creative control kind of stuff.
So
and with John, it's the booking that's kind of been handed to him, which is interesting. So, yeah, it is almost literally flipped.
Yes. But anyway, so original point was John Cena may be leaving soon. You want him off of your TV screen. I just really want him tweaked a bit because you know, again, as the years go on, make him more of a Shawn Michaels, you know, make him that gatekeeper. Don't make him the main guy for too much longer because he's talked about being – it's a really nice term, isn't it? And I've heard it around, and I really like the term. And he's talked about himself as if he is the gatekeeper. But then, of course, you know, without him knowing, without them even knowing, because of circumstances beyond their control, they were like, okay, so you know when you said, John, that they have to beat you to get through you, and you said that not as the champion, so it kind of felt cool because, like, you know, if they beat you, they can maybe go to the championship or something. Let's scrap that. You are the champion now, John. So they literally do have to beat you to win. Literally now. Like before it was like, oh, like a metaphorical clip. No, I was really actually have to beat you to win.
Yeah.
Which sucked. You know. But so I would like Cena to stay so long as they do something better. Because here's the thing. I know, as you said, making them money doesn't really but it does correlate in the sense that when you have people like Vince McMahon, you know, that he's going to be cutting costs from everywhere else. Other than his own damn pocket,
right?
We need money to surge into this. We need them to have enough, you know, money to do the little things that make wrestling so good. As you've mentioned before, the little things being things like, you know, the man, not really the man, but the Burning Man, the huge giant thing behind Fandango whenever he would dance and come to the ring. You know, Bad News Barrett's podiums, which I'm sure in a strange way they're like, thank God that guy's injured because you don't need to use his podiums. But if he was still around, they would have cut the podiums and we would have noticed. You know, things like that where it's just, it really, you know, adds on to the, you know, to the superstars and, you know, to the larger-than-life atmosphere. So that's why I want them to make money. because not only because I enjoy them and because, well, I enjoy parts of them, you know, parts of the WWE, and because, you know, with a little bit of work, they can be even better than they are right now. But also because of the fact that when it's looking low, it's really low right now, you know. And speaking of low, jumping right into our next topic, the morale is very low for WWE workers and a lot of people.
This one is definitely true. And
yes,
this is definitely one we can talk about because it's almost, well, it's obviously concerning. Because
It's concerning because now we have reports that there are people that, well, first off, we still have more reports of the people who work on the network not knowing what they're doing, not knowing what's going on, right? And this makes people think that after the subscriber numbers are revealed this coming Thursday, there are going to be more budget cuts, right? And these budget cuts specifically are 30 or more employees, no on-screen talent, but still important nonetheless, 30 or more employees losing their jobs.
Right, so that's what we've heard in terms of what's coming up. So that is a rumor, but it is pretty goddamn likely.
Yes, because I assume, that subscriber numbers have gone down. And I don't want them to, you know. I mean, I would like subscriber numbers to go up, but I'm really worried that because of this, I'll call it mass Cena hysteria. And I don't mean that, we just talked about Cena, so we understand how we both feel, but I use it in terms of the second Cena became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, people literally, I've heard people on the internet say, I read it, how do I get rid of my WWE Network account?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get
it? And on that, we have covered already, there are ways to get around holding that 6-month subscription, which we both have mentioned.
Which you shouldn't. There are.
Right.
So
but there
imagine,
are ways, which is disappointing. You know,
right.
And
yeah.
That means the subscriber numbers have not, you know, with the way WWE is organized, it's just to make this clear for those of you listening, if they were at 650,000, that's not a stagnant number. Like, in terms of their next update, even though the 6 months aren't up, it could have actually gone down.
And what's scary is that it could have actually increased. So some, like, you could have actually had, even though it obviously didn't happen, let's say it was 700,000, just to pretend, right? 700,000 could have actually became 1 million and then went down by half again. So they could say, we actually gained 300,000. We're at 1 million? Actually, no. We actually lost half of that.
Yeah.
And then silence.
That's incredible,
and then silence.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Because it's mind blowing. But yeah, it could actually happen. So, you know, so that's a huge issue and also the fact that there are some people who for some reason, right, and I understand why, you know, you want to budget yourself and everything, but for some reason think of this, you know, with such even though they are fans, right? They say that they're fans for years. They use this as a budgeting tactic where it's like, actually, we know that nothing good is going to happen between these months and these months, so we'll re-up it around WrestleMania time. And it's like, if you all do that, it won't be around at WrestleMania time.
And the problem is, though, how can you argue with them?
You can't. I understand. It's a smart business decision. But it's just because the WWE has done a lot.
That and the fact that you look at the product right now, not regarding the last 2 weeks, there's a little worry.
Mm-hmm.
The last two Raws have been pretty solid. But before that, you and I were both sitting here, and the pay-per-view was terrible. So
right. Well,
we're just sitting here like,
the only thing that was sad was these were people saying this even before the last pay-per-view. Even before the
build-up
from last pay-per-view, which is even worse because now you can tell that they just have it in their minds, like, no, this is what I must do. Which I don't think WWE actually thought that through either, which is really, Vince needs to get better men on this, and women on this, because someone, I don't know who, but someone must have said, actually, Vince McMahon, like, you know, where Vince said, how many people do you think subscribing? Because, you know, how many people do you think will subscribe to the WWE Network, right? And whoever it was, man or woman, whoever reported to Vince said, how many people live on planet Earth? And Vince just nodded just, with just tears going down his eyes going, brilliant. Brilliant. literally just assuming that, you know, the billions of people that are on the earth would you know, get on the network.
You know,
as
what's,
if, as
what's
if,
kind of sad,
hmm?
Too?
What?
When you think about it, right, when we first talked about the network, it was not only beneficial for us, but it made sense for the company because it was a way to counter things like pirating or, you know, streams that were a constant thing running across the nation.
Right.
So we sat here and we thought, you know what, they'd rather be getting $10 than no dollars, and this could work out for them in the long run. What I think really hurt them is that two things. One, they didn't
Everything.
Really think about how they were going to work out this money thing compared to, like, pay-per-view bonuses and stuff like that, where
yeah.
they didn't think, how are we going to do this with the network now? And two, it's what you're just discussing, where I think somebody really put it in his head, Vince's head, or that the whole brain trust, that they were going to get a million subscribers like nothing. And then they started pitching this, you know? Because
yeah.
even if they have 700,000, 700,000 is nothing to sneeze at. You know, I mean,
no.
700,000 at, you know, $10 a month is $7 million, right?
Yeah.
And
I mean,
you multiply that by six over the subscription of 6 months, if you did it right, that's $42 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think that I would assume that they just have so much money riding on, you know,
right.
the pay-per-views themselves, the people working on the network itself, that sadly they may not be making enough money, and that, which is crazy because you think, well, $42 million, that's a lot. But with the amount that's, you know, going into a lot, you know, of the pay-per-view stuff and the network stuff, it may just go just like that, snap of your fingers, not even realize it. And, I mean, it's crazy, you know, and I also, I said everything because the joke was that, you know, yeah, you also need to think, like, what if there are people who think with that business kind of savvy mind, where it's just, oh, actually, I would just rather only get it for 6 months out of the year, right? Because here's the good stuff.
And
it
sucks
is totally baffled.
Here's the, you know, and I hate to interrupt you, but you look
no.
at you and I, dude, right? I mean,
right.
neither of us are rich, and I know you would probably tough it out because you want to support the company. You really want to support the company, and I respect you for that. But if we were, you know, both diving into accounts of the WWE Network, right?
Right.
It would be hard to convince me to renew. Like, if I had done the reverse, of course I want to renew for the 6 months up to, like, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania season and stuff. So, yeah, I would do it again. But, man, like, in terms of post-WrestleMania season until, like, the later part of the year, they're working really hard to convince people that they don't need to see every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Of course. You know, and that also combined with the fact that I don't... Okay, obviously, this was going to burn bridges with the pay-per-view, you know, providers, the cable providers. However, yeah. they just did it in a way where it felt as if it was kind of like a... The only way to really describe it, and I, you know, and I'll say it this way, neener, neener.
Yes.
Look what we got, right? And it's just crazy because now they're realizing, you know, again, it's all hush-hush. So, you know, we're supposed to think, you know, we're supposed to, like, we're really supposed to think, like, oh, no, yeah, WWE has this. You know, they're completely unmatched. And they are, but they don't have it. You know, there's currently someone backstage right now running around with their hair and, you know, on fire, just screaming. That's how the company basically is backstage right now. Just because, you know, and sadly, yeah, they went up to the, you know, cable providers like, well, look what we're really, it should have been more of a, hey, so here's what we're doing, but please definitely carry our pay-per-views to the people who can't get internet in certain places in the U.S. Support
them.
Yeah,
and this was a mistake I made in the beginning where I thought the WWE Network would be accessible to pretty much everyone in America. I did think that. And that fed into my decision of thinking, wow, this is going to be amazing. And it didn't hit me until I got actual accounts from people saying, no, I can't really have it. And it
yeah.
shocked me, but then I realized, well, yeah, that's definitely a thing. And
yeah, no, it's just there are people who can't do it. And it's crazy because we, you know, like, okay, us making that mistake, though, right, We're possibly we're popular podcasters, let's hope. But we're also I'm 20, you're 19. You know what I mean? Like we're not there in the business. You know, there are people that are in the business that should have said, excuse me, Mr. McMahon, here's why this is full of horseshit.
Right. Because you have people who have done degrees and research on stuff like that's their expertise. So they should have realized it doesn't apply to everybody. And there were flaws in the payment system. While it was helpful to make it that easy for a lot of people, you also allow it so, Canadians and people who weren't part of your original North American release, well, your American release, rather, who were able to get it early, which skewed your numbers.
Which is possibly still skewing numbers, which I do think that there will be a jump when they go international, but what if that jump only gets them to a million?
That's the thing. That jump was supposed to put them, that was the above and beyond, right?
Yeah,
and
that was supposed to get them to like 2 million, hopefully, they thought.
Right, that was supposed to be the deal breaker, where it's like, wow, the icing on the cake is that we haven't even released this in Europe yet. And now it's like, how quickly can we release this in Europe?
Right. And then it's like, actually, sir, it's all right. I wonder if he's been told that, in a way, it's already been released in Europe.
They have to have been alerted to it if we've been alerted to it.
I don't mean they. I mean him. I mean Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I don't mean they. They know.
You think they haven't told him?
We've made the jokes about him seeing really good matches that he wants to have put on, and they're actually WWE 2K15 footage. We've made that joke before. But I really am wondering, where it's just, how much do people tell him? Especially because if you tell him, then he probably is going to tell his investors, and the investors don't want to, you don't want the investors knowing. So what are you not telling him? What is he, because how bad would that be for investors? Like, especially this Thursday coming up with this call, where it's just, also, we are well aware that, some of our current subscribers are from international, but if you think about it, like this, our network is so good that people outside the U.S. already want it.
Yeah.
So our numbers should quadruple, if not decrease, when we go international. how bad is that? But anyway, before we go, because we do have to go, we would like to give TNA the amount of time that it deserves. So TNA isn't being canceled yet. All right, so we have a Facebook page if anyone wants to check us out. We're done with
not today.
Not yet, anyway.
Remember, I'm so confused.
Here's the thing. You talked about this. We've talked about this on the phone, right? And I think we made brief reference to
it
yesterday on our recap.
Confirm it for me.
It's
not being canceled.
Rumors. We're talking about rumors, not canceled yet. Because right now, they are in deliberation.
Not Dixie Carter.
What?
Not Dixie Carter. She doesn't count.
No, it was Spike, I believe.
You're talking
it was
about
a tweet.
What we mentioned yesterday. Okay.
Yes, the Spike tweet. Right, which said, Viacom does not discuss ongoing negotiations. Now, again, I'm not saying that that means that TNA 10 more years, 10 more years. No. But what I am saying is that it is still a rumor kind of thing going around because, we don't know what's happening there.
Okay.
It's all but confirmed. So that's why I bring up the rumors. And, hey, if you don't know about this, check it out because, there's a lot of stuff going around. There are sources that do claim this is the end of TNA, but again, those aren't, I hate to say this, but TMZ. TMZ is the one who broke the news.
I am on the TNA is overboard. I think
they are. No, me too, but I don't want to claim it as fact just yet.
Agreed, right. We have no factual evidence. That's why I was trying to talk. I was like, wait, did we get something new?
No. And I will say this much. Even if they make a deal, there's a chance they will somehow either, and this is still rumor, this is a conjecture, really. They will probably claim bankruptcy right, in my opinion, because there are rumors that if, you know, if they do make another deal, it will be less than what they get right now.
Correct.
Which is probably really bad, because if you look at what they're getting right now, I mean, they're only getting what they're getting right now because of 1 million viewers, right? Which is one-third less than what WWE has, which makes you think, dear God, if WWE, right, from USA, for getting four times as much as TNA is, got more, by the way, in WWE's USA deal. They got more, but they thought they were going to get twice as more. Because, again, for some reason, someone always tells Vince, don't you worry, you're getting a lot, right?
Right.
So they didn't get as much as they wanted to, right? But, so you're thinking, oh, so they didn't get as much as they wanted. They didn't get double. They got a little bit more, but not as much as they needed. Dear God, what's going to happen to TNA? And that is an issue. So I'm with you. And you know, and everyone really should think, like, oh, God, TNA might be over, right? But for all we know, I mean, I don't know if there's any laws against this. For all we know, this could be like a going out of business sale,
mm-hmm.
except that the store is actually still going to be up 6 months later. It was a publicity stunt.
Here's a funny thought to end this on, by the way. We spent a lot of time discussing WWE's potentially money problems, right?
Right.
What if they don't actually have enough money to buy TNA right now?
Here's the thing. I would argue that I really want to talk about this more on the episode, but I would argue that they don't have the money, if only because it's a mix between, we don't have the money to buy TNA, and then the second thought being, wait, why were we discussing buying TNA?
Right.
You know, the most they would probably give is money for Sting footage, honestly. I really don't see them, or if they want to do like a Daniel Bryan video montage, not Daniel Bryan, like a CM Punk something, adding on something to his career, they can say, hey, he was even with those guys, the ones that got canceled. How funny was that? And here he is now doing good things, right? Something like that.
CM Punk was with TNA?
Oh, yeah, very, very limited run, very limited run. CM Punk did not like TNA. Go look this up, it's really funny. Yeah, but anyway. What was I going to say? Yes, so I would argue that they don't have the money, but I don't think even if they were in a position to really, because, oh, I will admit, if they're smart, see, and I say smart in a, and I don't know if I really mean smart, but I would do this, so I don't know if it's that smart. I would buy TNA's video library, I would put it on the network, and I would say, hey, did you, you know, were you one of the, like, let's pretend, like, even if it's half of TNA's audience was like, I watch TNA every week, and I enjoyed TNA. Right, and I didn't, and I never liked WWE. Screw them. And then WWE with their network says, "But we have TNA footage on our servers now."
And that's what you want.
I want to see TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they have enough money right now to keep TNA afloat on their network, mind you. I don't think they can do that. But I could argue that they have, you know, they could possibly put the footage on there, make people want to see older TNA. I mean, I would be happy with my subscription if I could see older TNA. Without, you know, fucking having it either be grainy footage or, you know, because obviously TNA's been going on for so long. I mean, you look at some older Monday Night Raw stuff that was capped at the time. It doesn't look as good as it would be today. You know,
mm-hmm.
trying to get down. So, I mean, I would be interested in seeing older, better, you know, video footage in an archive. But I don't know. Maybe WWE has the money. But again, it's a bit different than WCW, where Vince bought it all to say that he bought it all.
Right.
I really think that's what happened. Where I think if WCW was in TNA's position, and it, like, literally in TNA's exact position, and they did not, you know, he did not pose a threat to Vince, they wouldn't have bought it all. Because it's just Vince. But sadly, that's all the time we have for you guys today. We'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys, listening to the Rumor Mill. We talked about a lot of stuff. We opened up a lot. Satish got to open up on his feelings on John Cena and how he's very soon dead for Cena. And it's okay, Satish. I understand how you feel. And, yeah. And, again, thank you guys for listening to those guys. Definitely like us on Facebook, those guys on the radio. You know, we post a lot about a lot of different shows, you know, some being not just wrestling, some being anime, Dragon Ball Z movies, some being about comic books, just speaking comics. Definitely like our page because you'll be able to see what we are, you know, doing that week. Also, we have a Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. You can talk to us about promotions. And, yeah, play us
Twitter,
off, Satish.
Those Guys Radio. Follow us. We love you. Take care. Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night. We are now in the archive section. Play us out with music, Satish.
Are we still being recorded?
We're still being recorded.
I thought you were going to...
Hello,
everyone. I honestly
record
thought you were going to cut it at the moment.
Play music, Satish. Dance for me, puppet.
We have no music. We never have any music.
I'm playing music, Satish.
Why are you playing music?
Because I'm playing low music. It's a love ballad.
That's not what I was supposed to play.
Satish. I don't know, Satish.
Is the music talking to you?